God has given us 150 Psalms in the Bible with a specific purpose, and that is to teach us to praise Him, be thankful, and to sing to the Lord and be glad in the Lord. You know, throughout the centuries, many people have been encouraged and their spirits lifted by the Psalms. Psalms is called the Jewish hymn book. It's also called the Bible's song book. It contains songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving, songs of faith, songs of prayer. And it also contains wonderful promises. I want to give you a brief introduction about Psalms, or rather Psalmist. The Psalmist, Psalms was written by many people, not just one person. The Psalmist found his delight in the Lord. He found his delight in the Word of God. And he found his delight in God's people. No wonder the Psalmist was always happy in the Lord. The Psalmist also learned to trust the Lord in all circumstances. You know, the Psalmist went through many different kinds of trials in his life. And despite the trials, he learned to sing and praise and rejoice in the Lord. And through the trials, he composed beautiful songs. You know, the Psalmist is also called the singing man. That's a lovely description of Psalmist. I hope we'll be known as singing brothers and sisters. And Psalmist was also always meditating on the Word of God. You see, for example, Psalm 119. Almost every line speaks about God's Word. And not only that, the Psalmist had a vibrant, wonderful, joyful relationship with the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, one of the most wonderful things in life is to have such a happy relationship with the Lord. I feel sad when I see brothers and sisters heavy and gloomy and discouraged. I believe God has given us the book of Psalms to teach us to come to a lifestyle of praise, thanksgiving, prayer, faith, and to sing to the Lord happily, not just on Sunday morning, every day of our life, and also to meditate on the Word of God. Psalmist also learned to pour out his heart to God. You know, he just said straight from his heart, "Lord, I'm feeling downcast." You know, we used to sing a song, "Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus." And that is true prayer, brothers and sisters. Just tell the Lord straight from your heart. And the psalmist also said, "I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me." What confidence he had in the Lord. So many people say, "Hey, brother, I don't know whether the Lord's hearing my prayer." But not the psalmist. The psalmist also got tremendous revelation of God. And I want to encourage you this morning to have some fellowship with the psalmist by going through the Psalms. Don't tell me, brother, it's 150 chapters. It's not so long, I want to tell you. It'll have a powerful transforming effect on your life. And I praise God for all those who compose many choruses and songs from the scriptures and from the Psalms. You know, when you learn many songs, you learn also many scriptures. And that's a wonderful way to learn many scriptures. And Psalms also contain numerous exhortations to sing. In other words, the Lord wants us to sing, brothers and sisters. We also used to sing a song, "Burdens are lightened by singing." And the psalmist was inspired by the Holy Spirit to prophesy. You know, he prophesied about Jesus thousands of years before Jesus actually came into this world. And so this morning, I want to highlight few psalms. I can't go through 150 psalms, but I have studied the book of Psalms and it's blessed my heart so much. So I want to share with you just some psalms that's blessed me. Psalm 3, verse 3. Psalm 3, verse 3. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head." What a fantastic description of God The psalmist could say, brothers and sisters, the Lord was not only his shield, but he said, the Lord, he has lifted my head from all fear, anxiety, gloom, depression, and discouragement. And I hope we can also say that the Lord has saved us from all condemnation of the devil, from all discouragement. And we should be able to testify, not just quote Psalm 3. Can you say from your heart, he has lifted, you know, some people's heads are bowed down. They're always looking inside. I'm like this, I'm like that. If you listen to the devil, you'll always be under condemnation. If you listen to the devil, and if you keep looking inside, your head will be bowed down. But if you look to the Lord, and have a relationship with the Lord, and let the Lord do a work in you, you should be able to say, all my sins are forgiven, I'm justified. Everything of the past is wiped out. And not only that, Satan has no power over me. Sin has no power over me. I belong to the Lord. He is my glory. And we should all be brothers and sisters whose heads are lifted up. That's a good testimony, brothers and sisters. Some people think, oh, if I'm like that, you know, that's humility. That's not humility. All of us, I'm not trying to tell you to act. You should be able to say, the Lord has lifted my head from all depression, discouragement, and therefore I will praise the Lord. And let's be good examples there. And verse 4, he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I like this verse. I hope from this day you will say, Lord, you be the lifter up of my head. You know, reading the Bible about one lady, she was bent double. She was like that. Jesus touched her and straightened her up. And I want to say this morning, the Lord wants to straighten you up so that your head can be lifted up above all circumstances, above all discouragement, and keep praising the Lord. Okay. And Psalm 16, you know, the psalmist found his joy in the Lord and in the presence of the Lord. Verse Psalm 16:8, I've set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. What a wonderful way to testify, brothers and sisters. Many times when we ask people to testify, they're telling about themselves. But the psalmist said, I've set the Lord before me, and I'll not be moved. And he said, therefore my heart is glad, and my glorious tongue rejoices. And verse 11, you will show me the path of life. And verse 11, in your presence, fullness of joy, at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. True joy is in the presence of the Lord. More you have a connection with the Lord, more you live before God, the more you find your joy in the Lord, you'll always be happy. You know, there's a lovely verse in Psalm 17, verse 15. In the Living Bible, it says, Living Bible, it says very beautifully. I want to show you from the Living Bible. As for me, my contentment is not in wealth, but in seeing you and knowing all is well between us. Brothers and sisters, can you say that my contentment is in the Lord? All is well between me and the Lord. So many people are disheartened. They are not having a good relationship with the Lord. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you have sinned, if you have failed, confess, repent, forsake. Make sure everything is well between you and the Lord. That is normal Christian life. And I want to say, it's good for us to live like that, brothers and sisters. Okay. And Psalm 18, verse 3. The psalmist said, I'll call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from enemies. You know how we get victory? The secret of victory is faith and praise. And the psalmist learned that. You keep praising the Lord more and more. The Lord will help me. He will give me victory over every sin, every enemy. And that's how you will get victory over sin. Okay. And Psalm 22, verse 22. Here, this is prophetic about Jesus. my praise. Psalm 22, sorry, verse 22, I will declare your name unto you, my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. The psalmist not only praised the Lord during the week, he also praised the Lord in public. So that shows that we are not to be quiet when we come to the meeting. And verse 25, my praise shall be of you in your great, in the great congregation. And Psalm 23, the psalmist came to know the Lord in a personal way. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He was not quoting a verse. For the psalmist himself was a shepherd, and he experienced the Lord as a shepherd. And he says, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's the mark of a Christian. He gets good spiritual food. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. In other words, you get refreshed. Can you say that? He refreshes me. He leads me the path of righteousness. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of enemies. The psalmist said, Lord, you anoint my head with oil. He was not boasting. That's not pride. And you let the Lord anoint you with oil. And the psalmist said, my cup overflows. I like to see many brothers and sisters who can say that. The Lord has done a work in me. I belong to the Lord. My cup is overflowing. With praise, with thanksgiving, thanksgiving. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay. Psalm 27 verse 4. Look at Psalmist's heart. One thing I have a desire of the Lord that I will see after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Christian life is beholding God's beauty. See how wonderful the Lord is, how great the Lord is, how glorious He is. He says, for in verse 5, in time of trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me, He shall set me on a rock. And verse 6, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I hope all of you say this morning, I will sing praises to the Lord. Okay. And Psalm 30, I have to take you quickly through. Psalm 30 verse 11. This is a favorite verse of mine. And look at the experience psalmist had. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. You put on my sackcloth. You have girded me with gladness. So that my heart or tongue may sing praise to you and not be silent. Brothers and sisters, once the Lord is the glory and the lifter of our head, once He saves us from all guilt and condemnation and discouragement, we will sing His praise. We should be able to say, I will not be silent. Okay, Psalm 32 verse 7. Thou art my hiding place, you preserve me from trouble. You will compass me about with songs of deliverance. Okay. Psalm 34. It's a wonderful psalm. Psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What a life. All the time praising the Lord. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. Let's make a boast in the Lord, brothers. It's not how disciplined I am, how wholehearted I am. See, the Lord, He's so wonderful. And verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord. Let's exalt His name together. So many people magnify their troubles and trials and difficulties. Oh, brother, I'm going through this trouble. No, not the psalmist. He said, I magnify the Lord. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked unto Him and were lightened. Or it says, in other place, their faces were radiant. Have you lost your glow? Learn to praise the Lord. Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Every time we testify, don't testify about yourself. Lord is good. I won't touch all the verses. I want to move on. Psalm 41 verse 11. By this I know that you favor me because my enemy does not triumph over me. The psalmist knew that the Lord was favoring him. The Lord was supporting him because his enemies We are not triumphing over him. We don't have physical enemies. But I believe the Lord wants to bring us to such a place where sin does not reign over us. And we know the Lord is favoring us, supporting us, helping us, and therefore we praise the Lord. Psalm 50 verse 23. Whosoever offereth praise glorifies me. Brothers and sisters, the more we praise the Lord, we glorify the Lord, we honor the Lord. And look at the revelation the psalmist got about the Lord. Psalm 69, even though he was living in the Old Testament, offerings and sacrifices were compulsory, but he got a revelation that I will praise the name of God with a song, will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord better than ox or bullock that have horns and hoofs. He understood praising the Lord is more important in the old covenant than giving a offering. And Psalm 73:25, he said, there's nothing on earth I desire besides you. And the psalmist also had great confidence in the Lord. Psalm 91. We used to sing this psalm from the time we were small. Full psalm. I will, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler or the devil. He will cover you with his feathers. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. Verse 10, they shall know he will befall you. He shall give his angels charge over you. And verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, this is what the Lord says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. He'll call me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him. And that's what we must be able to testify. The Lord, he delivers me. He answers me. He will satisfy my life. Okay, I'm going to move on. And Psalm 95 onwards. So many exhortations to sing. And I want to tell you, singing is not a burden. You know? Just think, if you obey that exhortation, your life will be changed. Psalm 91, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise. And Psalm 119, almost every line is about God's word. Keep praising the Lord and keep meditating on God's word. And Psalm 107, you know, it says verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Keep meditating on God's goodness and your heart will be filled with praise. Psalm 136. Every line it says here. Give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, mercy endures forever. Some translation says love. Some translation says loving kindness. But you can take everything. His mercy endures forever. His love endures forever. His loving kindness endures forever. And to sum it up all, Psalm 149 was 5 onwards, or verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will purify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their bed. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Brothers and sisters, that is the way to victory. Praising the Lord, taking God's word, fighting the devil, and keep praising the Lord, your life also will become joyful, vibrant, wonderful. Okay. And you know, when Jesus was on earth, I believe Jesus went through the book of Psalms. I believe Jesus knew all the Psalms very well, intimately, and relied on them for every situation. It's also called the Songs of Jesus. You know, the Jews had this tradition of singing from Psalms 113 to 118 during Passover celebrations. And I believe, for example, they say it was customary for them during the Passover celebrations to drink many cups of grape juice and sing Psalm 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118. And I understand that, you know, Jesus and the disciples in the last part of their life used to sing in parts or alternatively. I like to imagine Jesus singing one line and the other disciples singing another line, and I'm sure they enjoyed singing like that. And I understand that even before going to the cross, they sang from Psalm 118. I can't imagine Jesus singing in a dull, boring, heavy, sleepy way. You know how Jesus would be singing? I'm sure Jesus sang in a passionate, zealous, loud way. Because I don't believe Jesus was singing like that. And you see Psalm 118, what it says, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do to me. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And that gave me an interest to read Psalm 118 more. When you go home, read Psalm 118. You know, because Jesus learned the Psalms, what I learned from the book of Psalms is, Jesus was singing every day in his life. And then on Sunday morning, not Sunday, those days, Saturdays, he used to go to the synagogue and he said, "I'll sing your praise in the midst of the congregation." What a wonderful example Jesus for us, brothers and sisters. Some of us can't imagine Jesus singing. You know? So I want to highlight this morning, I can visualize Jesus singing in the carpenter's shop, singing many psalms. I believe he was a joyful man because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He was filled with gladness. And so he was always praising the Lord during his work, during in his spare time. And Sunday morning, Saturday or Sabbath day, he would come and praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, all of us, we can praise the Lord during the week from Monday to Saturday in our home and privately. And Sunday morning when we come, don't just say the song leaders are going to sing. You should praise the Lord together. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing God's praise. I hope from next week onwards, our singing will be very, very different. Sing in private 6 days and come to the meeting on Sundays and sing together with the church. Oh, I believe God has given us many, many songs to praise the Lord. Okay, I want to move on. And Paul, who followed in the footsteps of Jesus, I'm sure Paul also read the book of Psalms. And in Ephesians 5:18 he said, "Be filled with the Spirit and sing to yourselves and to one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord." You know what is the emphasis there? Not just sing. Make melody in your heart. That means your heart is so full of praise. It's got nothing to do with voice. Don't worry about your voice, brothers and sisters. Let there be a melody in your heart. Don't worry about a musical instrument if you don't have during the week. Let there be a melody in your heart. And Colossians 3:16, Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." When your heart is filled with the word of God, then also you sing psalms and hymns. He says, sing with thankfulness in your heart. So many people are so much worried about musical instruments, tune. But is your heart in tune with the Lord? Are you so thankful to the Lord? And Paul, he knew the power of praise. That's why even when they locked him up in the prison, he began to praise the Lord so much, the Lord had to open the prison doors. And truly, brothers and sisters, praise, there's tremendous power in praise. And Tozer said that next to the Bible, he values the hymn book. Let's value many hymns, songs many saints have written over the years. I believe Hudson Taylor, after he buried his wife, he sang the song, "Jesus, I'm resting in the joy of what thou art. I'm finding out the greatness of your loving heart." Praise brings victory. 2 Chronicles 20:21. Oh, Jehoshaphat and all the people started praising the Lord, and the Lord gave them supernatural victory. 2 Chronicles 5. Oh, they started praising the Lord, and it says the house of God was filled with the glory of the Lord. I tell you, when you come to the meeting in the spirit of praise, it makes a difference to the meeting. Praise helps us to be in tune with heaven. Praise brings the spirit of heaven into our hearts and homes of the church. We already saw praise glorifies God. Praise makes us fragrant, radiant and joyful. You know, when a person, we want to know whether he is dead or not, you know what they do? They check the pulse. So you check the pulse of people spiritually, then you know whether they are alive, spiritually alive or not. If your heart is so full of praise and thanksgiving, you are alive. I really believe many are missing the power of praise. Sing about your salvation from where the Lord lifted you. The psalmist said, "He brought me out of a miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay. and put a new song in my mouth. You know, there was an unconverted man who was always grumbling and complaining about everything, and he was living in a street called Grumble Street, like Brother D.L. Moody said. One day he got saved, and his whole life has changed, it seems. And Brother, because he was so full of praise and thanks, Brother D.L. Moody said, he moved into Praise and Thanksgiving Street. In which street are you dwelling, brothers and sisters? Grumble Street or Praise and Thanksgiving Street? I heard of a missionary who was discouraged despite much praying, and then he decided to go and visit a friend of his and spend some time there. And then in his house, I believe, there was a wall text. The wall text said, try praise and thanksgiving. He took that to heart and started praising the Lord. I believe his whole life was changed, and he became very fruitful to the Lord. You know, we sing in a song, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more I love him, the more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. From the time I was young, I learned many songs and choruses. I used to sing them while I was going on my cycle and my bike. And singing has become part of my life. And I hope you'll also become you learn to sing and praise the Lord during the week, wherever you are. Sisters, you can sing in the kitchen from today onwards. You can sing in the bathroom. Sing in your house. I remember my dad was not a great singer, but I used to hear him singing. Brothers, while driving your scooters, cars, you can sing. Wonderful to hear couples singing. Let praise, thanksgiving, worship become a lifestyle. It makes a world of difference when you live like that during the week and come to the meeting with the spirit of praise. There's a expression, I don't know who said it. He says the chief end of men is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. I want to encourage you this morning. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy relationship with Him. Learn to praise Him from your heart. And be so thankful for your salvation and for all that the Lord has done and what He's doing, what He will do. And I tell you, it will make a tremendous difference in your personal life, in your home, in the church. And I believe that's a very good testimony for people to come and see. In this church, there's so much praise. Genuine praise, not superficial. Praise from the heart. Praise that pleases the Lord. Praise that ascends to heaven. And I believe that will really bring the presence of God mightily. And all who come here must say, God is here. The presence of God is here. I was lifted in my spirit. So don't tell me, don't come dragging yourself to the meeting. Like it says in Psalm 100, I'll close with that. Psalm 100 it says, that's the way to come to the meeting. Just make a joyful noise, joyful noise to the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, go with praise. Be thankful, bless His name. When you're occupied with the Lord, His mercy, His goodness, His loving, His love, His faithfulness, your heart will be lifted up. And oh, may God help us to be a powerful testimony. It says in Psalm 84, blessed are those who dwell in your house, they'll be always praising you, Lord. It says they grow from strength to strength. Brothers and sisters, try praising the Lord in your life. It'll change your life and you will be a powerful testimony for the Lord. Oh, may God make us singing brothers and sisters. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Amen.
We read in Psalm 27 that King David, he prayed in verse 4. He said, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. This is King David, he had all that he could aspire for. All the wants were met. Everything he had that he wanted as a king. And yet, he was not happy. Many people think that material wealth and blessings are, you know, when they have all that, they will be happy. But this man had everything more than all things put together that we have. But he was not satisfied. His discontentment was this, that he wanted something more. And that was this one thing that he asked from the Lord, that he sought all the days of his life. He says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. It's very rare that we hear prayers like that. We are occupied with so many things in this world. We are discontent. We get something, we ask and we get it, and then we ask something else which another person has, which we don't have. That is the root cause of all discontentment. Contentment is to be thankful with what you have and not to murmur or complain about the things that you don't have. You know, there are a set of people in this world who don't have any complaints, who don't have any murmurings, and who have absolutely no problem. Would you want to be like that? If you want to know who they are, they're all sleeping in their graves. They have no problem. As long as you have breath, we have breath. We have problems in this world. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:30, last verse. And we are called to live this kind of life. When we come Sunday morning and praise becomes heavy for us, that means that we have not lived during the week life of praise, like we heard this morning. It should be our lifestyle. If it has not been our lifestyle, then we are only cooking up when we come here. We want to utter something to praise the Lord, and that is only from our lips. It's not from the heart. If you have lived your life throughout the week without any complaints, without any murmurings, then there will be a song in your heart. The same psalmist said in Psalm 34, we read that. He said in verse 1, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How is it that he could praise the Lord at all times? Because he had made it a habit. It became his lifestyle. Then it was not difficult for him. Anytime, anywhere was okay with him. Even when he was being chased by King Saul, even when he was being chased by Absalom and his troops, he was happy. He was singing, he was praising. And we don't realize the power of praise, how much it can accomplish. We heard in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were in prison, beaten up badly, black and blue, probably they were bleeding. And they had no complaints because it was their lifestyle. They started praising the Lord and singing songs unto him in prison. And you know what it says when they started doing that? It says, you read that when you go home, there was an earthquake and all the doors were open, prison doors were open, and everybody's chains fell off. Not just Paul and Silas's chains. Everybody's chains. When you have a thankful spirit, you can undo the chains of others around you. You know, praise brings the very presence of God. And you read that in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, it says, verse 3, "Yet thou art holy, Lord, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel." You know, when you start praising the Lord, what you're doing? You're making a throne for God to come and dwell there. And when God's throne comes down into your life or into your room, when you have that spirit of praise and thanksgiving, then the enemies, do you think they can stand there? Just like when Paul and Silas started praising the Lord, the presence of God came and it shook the foundations of the prison, and the doors were flung open, chains fell off, and they were set free. Today you feel yourself bound. That may be because you don't have a spirit of praise in your heart. You have a spirit of complaining and grumbling and murmuring. That is not from God. That is from the devil. If you are not content with what you have, you will never be satisfied even when you have what you want to have. You would still want something which others have. You know, this is the cause of discontentment. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain indeed." If we don't learn contentment with what we have, we don't stand to gain anything. We are always, you know, at loose ends. And when you are praising the Lord, God gives you something. We read about that in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. Here is that great prophet Elisha. No one would think that Elisha would have a word at every moment and at every situation. But here he is facing a situation where he didn't know what to say to the people who have come to ask for his counsel. And you know what he says here? In verse 14 he says, "The king of Israel and the king of Judah had come there asking for his counsel." You know what this prophet says? Look at the boldness of the man of God here. He says, Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives," in verse 14, "before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you," he says to the king of Israel. Because he was a backslidden king who disobeyed God, but Jehoshaphat, who was king of Judah, Elisha had some respect for him. And then he says, he didn't have a word, then he says, "Now bring me a minstrel," that means bring me a musician or a harpist. And it came about that when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. You see the importance of songs, so the importance of music, godly music. We waste our time listening to various other worldly songs, love songs, and heavy metals and such rubbish. But here, when a harpist came and played some music, probably he must have played a psalm or something like that, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha, and then he prophesied. You see, many people, when they come to the meeting, they come late because they want to avoid the singing. They want to avoid the prayer. They only want to come and listen to the message. Who are these people? What can they expect from the Lord? These are consumers. They come only to consume, only to get, to listen to. If you're the type that comes here only to listen to the messages, you're a consumer. You're not contributing anything to the church. You are not a contributor. You are only a consumer. Decide from today that you will come with thankfulness in your heart to praise the Lord. And when you come here to praise the Lord Sunday morning, it just comes naturally for you to praise the Lord and to thank Him. It's not heavy. You don't have to cook up some words. Because throughout the week, you have lived a life of thankfulness and praise and gratitude to God. And when you come here, it just spontaneously comes out of your mouth. You want to be like that? And the psalmist says, David himself, in Psalm 19, he says, His word is like honey and like honeycomb, sweeter than honeycomb. Have we come to that place and experienced that God's word becomes it becomes sweet to us? And in the presence of God, I don't have to go to those references. Moses was on the Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. The second time when he went, he didn't eat or drink anything. And Jesus was in the presence of the Father for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat anything. When you're in the presence of the Lord, your bodily appetites are gone. You will forget about your hunger. You will not hunger and thirst. When we get up to heaven, I don't know whether we eat or drink there. Maybe we will, but we will not be having as often as we are having here on this earth. Because we don't need it there, because we will have glorified bodies. Jesus said, He said in John 6, "The words that I speak, they are life and they are spirit." And when we have the word of God in our hearts, these are words. Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration. What is inspiration? Inspiration is breathing into. God has breathed His breath into His word. And Jesus said, my words are life and they are spirit. And He said, you shall live because of my words. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, ask what you will and it shall be given to you. So when we come into that fellowship with Him, that we richly allow God's word to dwell in our hearts, then it becomes part of us and it keeps us from sinning. Like the psalmist says, your word, Lord, I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. You are struggling with sin, struggling with some bad habits over the years, and it's still bugging you, and you don't know what to do. Here is the remedy. Jesus said that, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, then you will bear much fruit, and all these sins will just fall off. They will vanish. You will become a victor. You will be more than conqueror, like it says in Romans 8. You will become more than conquerors over your lusts and over your discouragement, depression, and all that. I remember more than 30 years ago when I used to come to CFC in the old building, I used to come every time with a need. I was going through a lot of discouragement and depression and condemnation, defeat. And I would never miss a meeting. I knew God will give me something. Sometimes I don't remember the messages that I heard, but I remember some of the songs that we sang in those meetings. One of the songs we sang this morning, No, Never Alone. No, Never Alone. He has promised never to leave you. Never alone. You are not alone. He has not let you fight your battles alone. You can't do that. I can't do that. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And we know the power of God's word. It says that God's word is like a hammer that shatters the rocks. God's word is like, you know, it has life. We read in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is quick and powerful, even to go beyond, to cut asunder, you know, joints and marrows, bones and thoughts, spirit, soul. God's word is able to not only instruct us, to guide us and lead us, but also to give us healing. You read that in Proverbs 4. I'll close with this last word. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 22. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight." Give attention. Incline your ear. Don't let them depart from your sight. We read in Psalm 16 verse 8, David saying, "I have set the Lord before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." He had set the Lord before him. As long as his eyes were upon the Lord, he was okay. When his eyes were off the Lord, he sinned. Just like Peter. As long as his eyes were on Jesus, he walked on water. When he took off his eyes, he started drowning. Here it says, keep them. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Means, make it a central thing in your life. Why? Because they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. You want to experience healing? You want to have good health? Treasure God's word in your heart. Appreciate them. And value them more than your necessary food. Like Job said, "I value God's word more than my necessary food," he said, in the old covenant. Even before the law was given, this man lived even before the law. And he said, and he knew the value of the word of God. He said, "I valued his word more than my necessary food." And this verse 22 says, "They are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body." That's why, verse 23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Watch over your heart with all diligence, because out of it come springs of life. You want sweet water and living waters to flow from your life. Jesus said in John 7, "He who believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." You want those rivers to flow? Then hide God's word in your heart. Commit them to my memory and live by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. Amen.
I'm looking around to see anybody is excited to hear what we heard today. Thankfully, camera is not on each one of us. You know, David was not a gloomy person. He was a very exciting person. He saw God in every area. David was very thankful for his salvation. You know, many times when we hear this exciting thing, always we think it's not for me, it's somebody else. I'm always a weak person, I'm a sinful person. It won't work for me. That's not true, my brothers and sisters. God is a good God. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So what God did in godly people's life in the Bible, he can do for us. Many times I'm excited to read Psalms sometime. You know, my heart jumps and dances even physically. You turn with me to Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30 verse 11. Thou art turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou wast loose my sackcloth and girded with me gladness. What exciting news, my brothers and sisters. Even we have a song. Thou art turned my mourning into gladness for me. You know, We have to be excited about salvation, my brothers and sisters. God has lifted us from the miry clay. You know, David saw God in every area. You know, he saw God in nature. He saw God's hand with his enemy. I mean, when he went for a war, and God, so David was very thankful for his salvation. If you turn with me to Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3. You know, David enjoyed his life, I believe. You know, we are always we look down, we are always occupied with electronic gadgets. But David was not like that. He enjoyed the nature, he saw God in nature. You know, Psalms chapter 8 verse 3. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy finger, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is a man that was take thought of him? You know, David saw, you know, God who created heaven and earth, stars, moon, you know, such huge structure. But God had a concern for the tiny people like us who are on the earth. That's why his heart was overflowed with thanksgiving and praises. A few things I learned about David, why the praises can come out of his mouth. One thing, he knew the Lord when he was young. You know, Psalms chapter 4. Psalms chapter 4, verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, and more than when their grain, new wine abound. You know, Psalms chapter 3, verse 3 here. But thou, O Lord, a shield about me, my glory, and one who lifts my head. David knew the Lord when he was young. And he valued salvation in his life. That's why the praises and song can come forth of from his heart. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 27. You know, in every pages, in every chapter of the Psalms, you see some praises and thanksgiving. And we really get excited to see what David has written. Chapter 27 was 1 to 6. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? My brothers and sisters, my dear young people, we need to know the Lord when we are young. That's why David was, when he knew the Lord, and he was unshakable. When enemies came, his sons attacked, his enemies attacked, many times the wild animals attacked. But he was strong in the Lord because he knew the Lord personally. Most of the time the songs of praise doesn't come out of the heart because we don't know the Lord personally. We need to have a personal intimation with the Lord. Then we'll be excited. And he valued salvation all his life. And Psalms 89:1. Even we know the song, a very well-known song. I will sing of loving kindness forever. In the song goes like, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. God did well. God did all things well in our life, my brothers and sisters. You know, many times when we look back, and I look back in office situation, in personal life, and I've gone through many hard situations. But one thing I'm thankful is, many times when I looked into God's word, God has always put a song in my heart. As Brother Newton said, when I was driving cycle or a bike or when you're working, when we are going through a pressure in the office, God can put a song in our heart, my brothers and sisters. We need not be insecure. David was very, very secure in God, and he was very secure in God's word. That's why he could praise the Lord all the time. I don't think David was a gloomy person. And he could praise the Lord all the time when he was going through a trouble, when enemies were attacking him, and when somebody corrected him. Even in Psalms 51, we see somebody corrected him. We see the praise, the end of the Psalms. He could praise the Lord. Lord, you're going to lift my head, Lord. You're going to give me salvation, Lord. My brothers and sisters, let's have this habit of praising the Lord. I pray this prayer. Lord, give me a song today, Lord Jesus. I'm going to go through many troubles today. Lord, give me a song to meditate. Give me a song to sing to you. That will change our heart. You know, when we go into the world and the companies, everywhere people are gloomy. They're worried about future. They're worried about work. How I'm going to complete this work. I may lose a job. Everywhere people are gloomy. But, you know, when we come to the church, it's like a heaven on earth. People are glad. People are happy. And people are praising. It should not be only artificial. It should be within.
on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday when we come, when we are alone, we can ask God to put a praise in our heart. Psalm 17:15. Believe me, if you turn Psalms, every page you'll be, every page when you turn, you'll be encouraged. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. David was not an insecure person. Again, Psalms chapter 56 verse 4. We can read from verse 3. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in thee, in God whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. I think we have to read these kind of psalms, those who are insecure. We can read God's word, we can read the praises written by David. I'll read, in God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. Many times we are gloomy because we don't trust God's word, or we are very insecure. I encourage my dear young people like David, let's have a personal, intimate connection with the Lord when we are young. And let's be thankful for everything God has given. You know, the English experts can say there's something called passive voice and active voice. You know, what is active in a word? So what is passive in a word? You know, many times when we talk to people, how is life, how is work? Most of the time, or what is active in our words is, I have a problem in my work, I am going through this difficulty, or I can't overcome this. Always we make our problem active. We make it very important. Let's make our problem passive, my brothers and sisters. Let God's praise be active. Brother, I'm going through trouble in my life, but God has put a song in my heart. That's how our attitude should be. We can change watch our attitude in every word we speak. Are we making our problem bigger? Are we making our God bigger? God is bigger than all the problems. God is bigger than all the sins. God is bigger than all the pressures. God is bigger than the future. We can make our life active, my brothers and sisters. Every statement we can make God active, big. And we can make our problem passive. Okay? Amen.